The Rebbe is discussing the problem of man's inability to focus on a spiritual thought without allowing one's thoughts to drift off into physical tsiyurim, into presenting images in a physical form that we're so accustomed to. It's very, very difficult for individuals such as ourselves to have thoughts that are purely ruchnis. We don't even understand what that means, and that's what we were talking about. To use the koyach hamachshav, that ability to think in a way that's purely spiritual. So on page 16, it says oizvav. He says, "Bechlal yesh leisainen al shahadam kol kach shakua behergel shalai ad she'eni yochel la'ozvai." This is in general, there's a problem of man's being so immersed in his hergel and in his habits that a person is stuck in certain habits ad she'eni yochel la'ozvai, till he's not able to tear himself away from things that he's become accustomed to. When a person has spent his entire life, when a person's entire way of thinking and what he's used to is just imagining physical things in his mind, picturing in his thoughts, then a person begins to believe that thought, hamachshava, is also something which is a physical thing. Which doesn't mean he understands that the process of thinking is not something that's physical. You can't touch your thoughts. But he can't imagine any other type of thought. The only kind of thought this person can have is of something which is where he imagines something in his mind and he represents it in a physical form. He can't think any other way. He thinks the same way that I'm able to smell. And I'm able to taste and so on, so too I'm able to think. And the same way that tasting and smelling is something that relates only to this world, this is a mistake that he makes with thinking as well, that his thoughts are only able, he thinks that my thoughts are limited to thinking about the world, thinking about things that I can otherwise see or touch or taste and so on. But he says, you know, you're making a mistake, you could be making a mistake even with your physical senses. Now, is this assumption that the senses are purely physical is also, he says, not, it's not true. He says, even your physical senses are not entirely, the senses that you perceive as being completely physical are really not entirely physical. The ability for a person to see and to hear, as the actual chush, you never even actually have used your ability to see in its truest form. You've never even used that. You don't know what that is. The only thing that you have used is you have seen or heard things of this world. And therefore, in your way of thinking, if there's nothing to see or if there's nothing to hear, if there's nobody in the room, there's no music playing, if there's no bird chirping, so then there's nothing to hear. If the lights are out and it's totally dark, then the chush hara'iyah, then there's nothing to see. Mela, the chush hara'iyah, that sense, that ability that's called seeing, is non-existent at that moment. It doesn't apply at that moment. That's the way we think. That's what he means. When you take away the thing that can be seen, so now the lights are out, I can't see anything. So, or there's no one here, so I can't hear anything. So he says, Mimele, you don't have those chushim anymore. Those senses are not operating. He says, whoever told you that ability that man has to see is itself something which is physical? And how do you know that the only thing that you're capable of seeing are things that are physical? How do you know that? Or should be chol to liros hakol gam dvarim bilti gufanim, Maybe man has the ability, maybe there's a chush over ear, there's the ability to see something that is not physical. After all, Nevi'im were called, Navi was called Haro'eh, the one who can see. And maybe maybe when man's chush har'iya, when man's ability to see is stretched to its limit, there are things that are non-physical that one can somehow see. Vata, kevin shehevei selofon evak dvarim gufaniyim. He says, your problem, he says, our problem in life is that we have this ability that's called chush har'iya, this ability to see. We've really never tapped into that chush har'iya in the fullest sense, and all of it, and all that it can do for us. Therefore, we've only brought before our eyes only dvarim gufaniyim. The only things that we've used our eyes to see are physical things. So therefore, hirgalti rak b'riya gashmis. Therefore, we've accustomed our eyes to seeing only physical things, and we associate, as a result of that, we associate the chush har'iya, the ability to see, only with physical reality. We've already spoken about this. Lama chachmas adam ta'ir panav. He gives an example of how really one can see more than something which is just physical. The pasuk says chachmas adam ta'ir panav, that a person's wisdom, a person's intelligence, illuminates his face, shines on his face. V'kol ish makil fi erko b'chaveru im chacham o tipesh im izach o gasu. It's very easy to see. Most people are able to tell if you're looking at someone even without the person speaking. You're able to see, you're not able to maybe accurately tell. A person who has more refined chushariya, ability to see, will see this in a better way. But anybody is able to look at someone and to know whether or not this is a person who is a very highly refined spiritual person, or he's an ish gas, or he's a prosta, someone who's coarse and unrefined. Whether he's a chacham or a tipesh, you could tell by looking at him if the guy doesn't say a word. This is not a physical thing. This ri'iyah, this way of seeing, is not physical. The wise person and the idiot both have physical features that they share in common. And yet it says in Pasuk, Chachmas Adam Tayir Panav, that someone is able to see with his eyes by looking at another person's face to have an inkling of who he is. He says, B'chol inyan Aliyas Adam Yesh Evan Negef Azeh She'iyev Shaloi L'his Alus Min Hergela. This is a stumbling block in man's life in general that prevents us from moving ahead and from becoming greater people, is that we sell ourselves short. We don't realize that we have certain chushim, those chushim that we associate with being purely physical, we don't realize that that's not what they really are. I spoke about this on Shabbos a few weeks ago, that man's ability to hear, hearing really means to understand. Hearing something means understanding something. When we hear something, so we could be tested for how we hear things by an audiologist, and we hear certain frequencies, and we can't hear other frequencies. But the definition of Shema Yisrael, of listening, really means understanding. Lev Maven. It means to be able to understand something. And Re'iyah is associated, we spoke about back then, with Chachma, like Shlomo HaMelech uses that, the word Re'isi, when he's speaking about Chachma, right? Right, we were talking about even smelling and tasting, and Mashiach Tzakenu's taste is going to be refined. So Chazal say, Marach V'Doyin, that he'll be able to smell. It's from the Pasuk. He'll be able to smell who's a tzaddik and who's a rasha. But we don't know. We haven't tapped into that. It doesn't mean that Mashiach is some sort of a weird Superman. We don't. This is not comic books. What it means is that there's a certain ability to smell that we haven't used yet. We haven't yet used. Same thing with seeing and hearing and so on. We haven't yet used. And he says, this is an Evan Negev. This is a stumbling block. She'ev shaloi l'salus min hergela, that we can't lift ourselves up above this hergel, this habit of limiting ourselves to what we're accustomed to experiencing, thinking and feeling and so on. But kamash nirtzel avarlo, but kamash nirtzel hachkimo. And if you try to explain this to someone, that he has much more, koiches than he gives himself credit for having. You can't, if someone says this is the way it looks, you're telling me this is not true, I see this with my own eyes. And you come along and you try to explain to him that it's not as he sees it with his physical eyes, he'll say you're crazy. He'll argue with you, you're crazy. Because he can't tell someone that which is the opposite of all that he's used to seeing or hearing and experiencing. And if you come and you tell him the opposite, he'll be very upset and he'll reject what you're saying. To the point that a certain mysterious stubbornness has developed in the person's heart. Next page. That it's very difficult for a person to even budge in the slightest way from his preconceived ideas of what truth is, of what reality consists of. You can't get him to budge. He won't budge. This is what I'm used to thinking. This is the way I see it. This is what it is to me. And he's not going to budge. And you could try to explain to him and talk to him, and it's not going to work. He won't budge. He's committed to that. How do you take a person like this and lift him above the world? The second you tell him something that contradicts what he's used to thinking or feeling or seeing, he right away, what happens in his heart, he thinks, and he proclaims in his heart, what's this guy saying? The world isn't physical, there's something else there. What's he talking about? And he's telling me that I don't even recognize myself, I don't really know who I am. This person's telling me, I don't even know who I really am. I have this neshama, I have this, I have that. Meshuggah ish haruach, he's crazy. The ish haruach, the man of spirit, in the eyes of this gashmistic person, and this guy could be a religious guy, puts on talis and tefillin, but he's never able to escape that limited way of thinking, of seeing, of feeling. So when someone talks to him about ideas, as sublime ideas like, you know, holiness and pureness, and even evil and so on, he doesn't understand. Someone tells him, "This is who you are. Do you know who you are?" He can't hear this at all. What am I? He says, "I know what I am. I'm boss of a dam. I live at this address. My parents are so and so. My wife is so and so. My kids go to this school. the boiler's broken. You know, I have to go to the grocery." And these are his machshavas. I mean, this is where he's stuck. And if you tell him something else, he'll think it's interesting, it's sweet. It's not him. It's not me. He can't identify with something that he's never experienced. Very good. Excellent. Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I see above that.
Right. There's a way. That's what we were talking about at the beginning. Excellent. We were talking about at the beginning. Su'umah Romei Nechem. The ability of a person to lift his eyes up above. To lift his eyes up above that pure, that plain physical reality. I told you once in Maisa, the two tzaddikim, one of them was, could be that it was the Yidda Kaddish with the Kotzker. I'm not sure. And they were crossing over a bridge. And it's very much negay to what's happening now. They were crossing over a bridge, and there were some boys that were swimming in the river that were below. And when they saw the two rabbis walking on the bridge, they took rocks and they started to throw them at the tzaddikim. And one of the tzaddikim threw himself on the floor not to get hurt. He was lying down on the bridge, and the other tzaddik kept on walking. And he turned to the other one that was lying down. He says, "What's the matter? What are you lying on the floor? We have to go. Why are you lying there?" So he said, "Rabbi, what do you mean? Why am I lying here? What about the rocks? What about the boys, the goyim throwing the rocks?" So the tzaddik said, "I'm disappointed in you. There are no rocks. There are no goyim." And now, you know, for people like us, you know, you end up in the hospital with that philosophy. You end up in the hospital. But there is such a concept, and you find this also, you know, by this. There was a school from Rav Chaim Volozhiner that if a person doesn't take his thoughts for a second off Ein Od Milvado, that there's nothing besides God, there's nothing in existence besides His oneness. So we have very famous stories from Rav Velvel Brisker, from the Brisker Rav, and other tzaddikim, that when their thought was completely lifted above, when the thoughts were able to be lifted completely above the physical metzias, to really, really focus on that true metzias of Ein Od Milvado, that there's nothing besides him, then in fact a person cannot be affected by this world. And you had that. I don't know what you're talking about with his beard during the war.
Yeah, there, he was
invisible. The Satmar Rebbe made himself partially invisible. The Satmar Rebbe was able to make himself invisible during the war, and that's a Dover Yadur. And Rav Ashkenazi, his shamus, is still alive to testify about that. When the Satmar Rebbe stood, when they came in, the Germans, they had an all points bulletin looking for the Satmar Rebbe. You have to understand, he was one of the most famous rabbanim in the world, and the Germans were after him. And they cornered him. They found him in a house together with his shamus, with his gabbai, Rav Ashkenazi, and they came in there. And the Satmar Rebbe refused the entire war to cut his beard. He didn't take off his beard, and he wasn't disguised or anything. And they came into the room, and the Satmar Rebbe had taught also Rav Ashkenazi what to think about and if this happens. And they stood there. I don't know if Rav Ashkenazi was hiding. I don't remember the exact story, but the Satmar Rebbe was standing in the middle of the room. The German soldiers ran in, and they're looking. They walked right up to him, and they're looking all over the place. And Satmar Rebbe stood there with his eyes closed, and they left. And the Satmar Rebbe said, and I think maybe Rav Ashkenazi was hiding someplace, and the Satmar Rebbe said, "This I don't have to be. I'm not meshubah to this world. One have to be. It's not. One doesn't have to be seen or heard, right?" And to us, remember, since again, he's the Rebbe saying that we can't climb out of this way of looking at things that we have, where reality that we see with our eyes is all that exists. So we're stuck in that dimension of reality. But you're going to see, he's going to teach. He's going to the sefer to train us how to begin to think differently. He's going to go in order. But he's just at the beginning, he's telling us this in a very strong way. And then he's going to see, you'll see in a moment, he's going to say, I'm not trying to frighten anybody. And I'm not talking, and the purpose of this chevra that he's establishing was not only for tzaddikim, he says, but he's going to take simple Jews like ourselves and teach us how we're able to think differently. However, to have ruchnis dikka machshavas.
Was he able to do this also?
I don't know what his kaiches were. He was a big balmaifus. I don't know, you know, to what extent. Yeah.
The Rebbe says that as a child, it's easier to do this, or it doesn't make a difference.
Children have an unbelievable imagination. The problem with children is that they're not focused. So they could soar off into very unusual places, but they'll only be there for a minute or two. If one was able to harness the machshavas of a child, we would be in Yerushalayim with Mashiach already a long time ago. The problem is that a child's thoughts wander from one thing to the next, and they can't hold on to a thought for a long time. That's the problem with the child. So the Rebbe goes on. He says, this is the main problem, this is the main chisaron, that a person is not able to elevate his way of thinking to a pure thought without in his mind thinking of something that's physical. Even if you tell a person, the beginning of teaching a person how to meditate, which in America, in yeshivas, none of us ever learned this, we think it's some weird thing that they do in India. When in truth, meditation is something which its foundations are purely in Yiddishkeit, and to meditate is purely a Jewish thing, and it comes from Torah. But you tell, if you go into yeshiva and you say to Rashi, and you ask Rashiva, could we have a shiur in meditation? You're not going to last in that yeshiva too long, right? So it's a purely Jewish activity. The beginning of meditation is to tell somebody, all right, listen, I want to teach you how to meditate. Spend 2 minutes, think of nothing. Close your eyes and don't think of anything. Try that when you get home later on. Don't think of anything. You know what you're thinking the whole time? Is this nothing? Is this nothing? This black? I see black. I see nothing. That's not nothing. You keep on thinking about it. You're having a very physical thought. That's not what it means. We're so used to thinking that way. We've never been, from the time we're in this world, been left alone with a pure spiritual thought. So if you try to think of nothing, you constantly have these weird things coming in. you know, that this must be nothing because it's black. Because it's black, the lights are out. I guess it's nothing. And you're thinking about the, you know, you didn't feed the fish or something. You can't do it. Plus, you can't do it. So, you know, when I went for this a couple years ago, I had to go for this MRI. I'm sure some of you have gone through this. You have to go into that machine, and they shut you in there, and you. So the lady came over. I don't know how long it was supposed to be, for 15 minutes or half hour. I don't remember. So she said, "What kind of music would you like?" So I said, "I don't want any music." She said, "You're gonna have to be. It's gonna be totally dark. You're not gonna be able to move for a half hour." So I said, "Yeah." She says, "Well, we have different types of music. You know, what do you want? Though we can get you the news. You like sports?" I said, "No, I'll just think." She said she never once heard such a thing in her life. She never heard of such a thing. To me, it was like, to me, honestly, I told my wife, I would like to go every day for one of those things. It was the most wonderful thing. No, I mean, it should not chas v'shalom, because I would need it just to get away a little bit. It was gewaldig, just to stay there, not to move, not to have to, there's no noise. It was mamash, I mean, every once in a while there's a little noise or something, I don't know what that was. But the peacefulness, the clarity, how different our lives would be if we had 15 minutes a day like that. How different life would be. but this is what he's saying to Rabbi, that there's such a chisaron in our lives that we don't know how to use our thoughts to have a pure thought without coloring it with siurim and demyonis of images of this world. Every time he says a thought comes into your brain, we're very demanding. The second we have a thought in our head, we say, okay, prove it. In other words, you say to yourself, show this to me. And then there's an image that pops into your head. Oh, there it is. It's something that's in the world. And if it's part of your familiar physical setting, so then okay, then the thought is prepared to accept this. It's not considered a machshava. It's something weird. It's not part of my way of thinking. The Rebbe says, you know, sometimes, you know, sof kol sof a Jew is a ben Novi. So there is an occasional thought that is not machshava, that's not part of this world, that comes into your head. There is something real that comes into your head. Oilahi, the Rebbe says. Be'emes, in other words, we do have such thoughts occasionally. So what happens? Rakeven shebedaito shel adam yesh koach mevakir shemevakir magiyas kol hamachshavas adam. It's kol hamachshavas adam. Since, what do we have? That man has this ability. He has, and it's to protect him. Man has this thing in his brain that the second some information, a thought comes to the brain, he has this other part of the brain that it's like, it's there, it's to guard the entrances to the brain and to check any thought that comes in. It checks, it's mevaker, in other words, it investigates, it runs an inquiry, an investigation into any thought that comes in. V'oiseh she'ena doyim v'mishtav l'metziyas ha'olam nir'es bein of l'mziyofa. Any thought that comes to his brain that tries to get into his brain. In other words, there are many, many spiritual thoughts that arrive at the door, at the gate of our thoughts, of our brains. But what happens is when it gets there, so that part of us that is only willing to accept what we sense, what we feel, it checks that thought out and it says, "Mizuyafa, I'm sorry, this is a phony thought. This is a strange thought." The roidfa, and then your brain will what? Be roidif, it'll persecute. And will reject that thought from the brain that it's not allowed to come in. Kamosharom, for instance, he says, Kamosharom shebemokhus shel hayelet, you'll see that with the way that a child thinks, Oilois gamachshavus eif shorius. Impossible thoughts come to a kid's head. All the time, Lamashal. Sheyov bekanafayim. He thinks, you know, he imagines himself flying. He thinks of himself having wings. The kid has wings and he flies. Or the kid, you know, he has a cape on and he's Superman. I mean, he imagines these thoughts. So children have these impossible, these thoughts that are not of this world. This happens to kids all the time. Thoughts that are not of this world. The brain is not as strict, right? Says, now, by an adult, where he has this koach habikur, which is a healthy thing, but he has this skeptical guard to his thoughts, standing there, right? And this is already developed, it's very mature inside of him, this bikur, this security check of all thoughts that are coming. kids don't have that. If a thought comes to a kid, he says, come right in. Go ahead. You know, any weird thing, the kid says, go ahead. You're welcomed here. But not by an adult. By an adult, he has a very strong security check. And the security check is, if it's not part of this world, if you didn't grow up with this, you can, even with political ideas, right? There's something that's called in psychology cognitive dissonance, where you know that a person will, even in the most irrational way, will reject something that is too shocking for his system to absorb. He will simply not see it. There are people that I have spoken to, that I have met, that have had certain experiences in their childhood, certain experiences over the course of years that they simply did not remember. And and even though they remembered everything else that was happening at that time of their lives, it wasn't when they were 1 year, it wasn't when they were 1 or 2. It's when they were 9, 10, 11, 12. Because there is this koach habikur in the person's mind that will not accept something, A, that is not part of that comfortable, cozy world we're accustomed to, and B, something that might upset the system so terribly that if I allow that thought in, it could destroy me emotionally. So man has this protective koach habikur in his brain to prevent himself from being overwhelmed.
Do you think that's a bad thing?
No, it can be used in a very positive way, right? It can be used in a very positive way. Our problem is that those security guards are so strong, they've been so empowered that
it's the criteria for the check.
Right, they no longer distinguish between, in other words, any thought that might be shocking or new, even though it could be shockingly great, anything that's different, you know, that koach habikur just doesn't distinguish. It says you're not allowed in. This is too much for the system. You can't come in. The system's not used to it. This is a guy that's used to, you know, steak and fries, and you're talking about something much, you know, very different. And it's just not, you can't come here. So we need that koach habikur to survive. We need that. We have to have that koach. We have to have the security check, right? But the problem is that he's...
It's filtering out other things.
Yeah, it's stopping every single thought at that border.
So that prevents you from reaching greater levels of ruach.
That prevents us from reaching greater levels of ruach nis and being able to concentrate on and hold a thought that is not meshubit, that's not enslaved to physical reality. That's what he was talking about last time. Therefore, you tell a person, and we can talk about this, it's coming up. Therefore, you think about God. You know, I don't know what to do. You tell me to think about God. What is that? So I guess it's an old guy in a chair, you know. What am I supposed to do? He's wearing a thousand tilm. You know, he looks like some you know, nice painting that I've seen. Or, you know, you saw tzaddik that it was beautiful. So you say, oh, maybe, you know, Hashem looks like that tzaddik or something. And what the Rebbe is going to teach us, Mamish is going to teach us from Aleph, is how you can't start off by not having physical thoughts, because the security guards won't let him in. So what do? We have to trick the security guards. You let in thoughts that are physical, and he's going to teach us how from those physical thoughts we can accustom ourselves to lifting ourselves to a higher level of being able to perceive ruchnius. You let those physical thoughts in and you use certain siurim. In other words, for instance, when you're davening, you imagine yourself standing at the kaisel, and from there you can get to a higher level of right, so you imagine yourself in a physical place, which is the Kaisel Maravi. You could feel yourself standing by the stones, smelling the Kaisel, touching with having your face against the wall and feeling that. And you remember that time when you were there, and you feel the coolness of the Ra, and you go very deeply into the physical thought of standing by the Kaisel. And your mind will let you do that, because that's all right. That's okay. You're allowed there. Because, you know, just like your mind can imagine you, you know, leaning up against the wall, you know, waiting for an ATM machine or something to be free. You could picture that. You can get to that thought. But from there, the Rebbe is going to teach us how you can begin to train yourself to trick the security guards and get through the border to a higher place, to a higher machshava. But this is our problem, he says. He says, "V'hagodol shekocha bikur shev mochon nesgadol ein machshava kazu bov mochon neshekocha mevakish nesgadol v'mashiv es machshavta maricha im divrei ha'olim shero v'shomeya." So if an adult would have a thought, hey, you could fly. Like, you know, the kid has a thought, you could fly. An adult has a thought, you could fly. Right? It doesn't get into our thinking. When it comes to the gate of thought, it's rejected by the security guard that says, "What are you doing? People don't fly. People don't fly." The kol machshavim mizuyofa. Therefore, any thought which appears to be phony or false, which has false papers, Megaresh, the mind rejects. Umekachesh, and denies. Ad shedayim lo lahayish shelo bo klal v'klal bo. The person thinks he never even had this thought. He never had such a thought. It never happened to him. Because this way of checking every thought, this security guard has become so developed. It rules so strongly over the mind of a person. Till it prevents and scares away any thought that it thinks is ridiculous, is phony, is not real, from crossing over the threshold of your mind. It doesn't allow it to even come there. So Mela, he says, with everything, we do have many spiritual thoughts. There are many, and I've often said here in the shul from Rav Cook's introduction to his siddur, where he says, "Haneshama tamid mispalalas." He said that a man's neshama is constantly davening. In other words, there's something inside of us that is constantly, perpetually talking to God. But we don't think that. We don't hear that at all. It's like, you know, it's the Yankees. I don't know what you're talking about. I got the Yankees in here. I got other stuff, and we think that if you could take out the brain and empty that, you have like a screwdriver and hammer and stuff falling on the table, and that's it. And we push it. We don't realize that, like when Rav Cook says on the Shema Tavmis Pelos, that there's a part of us that's constantly talking to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And what is it? So Rav Cook says over there, Kavana doesn't mean how do I concentrate to have these thoughts. Kavana means to have quiet inside, so that the outside world doesn't prevent the real thoughts from being heard. And those thoughts are there, but we're not allowing them to penetrate because we're so obsessed with what we see and what we hear. So as a result of that, we think, what's kavana? We think that kavana means I have to do something to create spiritual thinking, a spiritual mindset. Rav Cook says that's absolutely not true. You don't have to create a spiritual mindset. You're a Jew. You're filled with a neshama. It's there. The problem is that you're so preoccupied with a physical mindset that the natural, healthy flow of who you really are, till you're 120, you never heard once. Not one time. This is what he's explaining. Yeah. I'm saying that even during davening, Allah has kama v'kama when it's not during davening. Even during davening, a person tries to daven and says, okay, now I'm going to have kavana. What does that even mean? Now I'm going to have kavana. So I'm going to think about Hashem. So tell someone that's not used to that, what does that mean? I'm going to think about Hashem. What do you do? What do you do when you think about Hashem? What am I supposed to think about? Right? So you start, you want to have good kavana. So you start to think, about Hashem. So either you have some physical picture of God, some crazy thing like from some movie or something, I don't know what. Years ago there was George Burns, right? So can you imagine yourself thinking like a George Burns, God forbid, right? So what? Well, this is good, yeah. So yeah. So you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. So maybe you start to think of Bereishis Bo Elokim Hashem Shamayim V'Haaretz. You start to think of Yerushalayim. You don't know what to do. From the beginning, we're religious Jews. He said they've not b'chlal, never had a spiritual thought. We don't even know what that means. And we think that it's something which is not real. We think that it's something which is odd. And we have to create some new images in our brains. And what Rav Cook is saying is that no, you have to learn how to think real, to allow your real thoughts to penetrate into your mind. And that's what the Rebbe is saying. So these thoughts never come to you. They're not allowed in. They're scared away at the gate. So you think you never had these thoughts. I don't have any. I'm not capable of thinking this way. Now he says, It's not that you don't have a pure, clean thought, something without any physical images. They do come to your head. Since that guard of your brain is standing there, Murgal Kolkach Rak Machshavas in Tzirim, it's only used to thoughts that have images, physical images. The Roy Dei from Megarishu is Kol Machshavat Tehermcha. Therefore, it chases away any pure thought. You don't know that you have the security guard. What does that mean? You can't picture that either. What do you mean you have this ability to discern? You have some way of checking in your brain. You never saw that either. That's also not part of your steak and potatoes vision of reality. He says, so therefore, what do you think? She'ein shum machshavah dimyon bilti metzuyah. That you have no thoughts that are not physical. You're not capable of it. You never had a thought like that, and you're not capable of thinking about something spiritual. V'nechaz betzurah gufanis nimtzeh b'chaklal. You can't think of something that's not connected to the physical world. The bemes ha'isha nikva bokvar shemachshavah amitis iev shalol esdamus tzurah soilam. Next page. V'gidol v'hirchiv b'yisam machshavah nikis. Says truthfully, when a person has accustomed himself and trained himself to having pure thoughts, pure spiritual thoughts, oz be'is alos b'machshava zu choshev medam v'ron lefi matzavu es ha'kedusha v'eskisi ha'kovet so sherish v'choytzev nishmaso v'ein tzura, and he says v'ein tzura gufonis chaseri lo monas es machshavto. He's like this. You have even a person who's gotten used to having, you know, he thinks on spiritual terms. He's more of a spiritual guy, right? So what happens is that when he has this machshava, even from the realm of kedusha, lefi his matziv, in that world of kedusha that he wants to be in, he says what? He says that he in that world. He also envisions, let's say, when he thinks of the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory, right? Which is the root and source of his neshama. He says, and he doesn't have some physical thing like a subway or a supper standing in the way. You know, he's thinking of a throne. He's thinking of nice things, right? Things that are spiritual things. Rak imroitzu hulach kar achre machshavto, mani choshev eroa. He says, now what happens like this, is even when he's trying to get away from the physical things, but he begins to be choker and has machshav, he begins to investigate, and he asks himself, what do I see? And he begins to be choker. Our downfall is that the second that we have some spiritual thought, we immediately, something inside of us rises up and says, okay, I'm having a spiritual experience. How can I relate this to physical reality? That's our natural inclination. You know, how do I now bring this into reality? And when we do that, so then we lose it. That's what he says. What am I thinking about? What am I seeing? That's already in the fila. Making that effort to envision this in this world is already in the fila. It's falling. He loses. He can't connect anymore to that. Spiritual experience he was beginning to feel, because the second he begins to relate it to something in this world, then it begins to fade. The picture gets fades from the screen. What's he doing? What he's doing is shuv bikur v'zdamus ha'machshava l'machshavas tzira olam. That's once again he's falling to this trap of trying to connect a pure spiritual thought and trying to relate it to physical reality. Aval, he says, however. He says, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a shock, but he says we're not going to jump so far. We're not going to skip over steps. He says, in other words, even though it's every one of you, he's telling his chevra, every one of you certainly does have a spiritual thought, but you just don't let him in. But you know what? He says, I'm not talking to somebody who already has these good machshavas, who's experienced them. I'm not going to skip to that place. Why? I want to lift up every one of the chevra. I want to help. We want to work with each and every one of the chevra, even those who have never had a thought, who doesn't even think of the Kisya Kovin and so on. Elzmane Kodesh Ke'elu. I want to be able to lift each and every one of you to experience these holy moments. Mane Kodesh Ke'elu. Lugalos Gambahem Machshavet Tahira. In other words, even those of you in the chevra who are completely committed to a physical reality in your minds, even you, I want to teach you, and that's people like us, I want to teach you how to have machshava, how to have a machshava taiva, a good thought, machshava tahira. And by the time we're finished, but it's something you have to work at. This is not just reading. The Rebbe is going to give us exercises, things that we have to work at. And by the time we finish this little kuntris, a person is able to be in a madrega. Simple people like us can be in a madrega where at will you can go quietly someplace for a few minutes and have and enter into a completely different realm of thought. At will. Of a way of, and certainly when it comes to davening, at will. at will. It takes years to train that oneself that it should be able to, that you should be able to hold on, and it should last for more than a second, for more than a minute. But once you begin to taste of the beauty of that, it's mamash a Gan Eden. It's a Gan Eden. When you talk to people who are able to meditate and they've trained themselves to meditate, they look at us like animals. People who know how to meditate, they look at people who don't meditate as prosta behemoths. Not like they look down on us. They don't know how we can exist. How do you go on like this day after day?
Without meditating.
You are mamish a behemoth. I've had conversations with Chevra like this. They look at us like we're aliens. How could you live like that without a higher realm of thought? How do you go on like that day after day? Right? And you know, they're right. That's scary. Ukamer habikur zema shiroitse vidoirish mikol machshov hizdamus a kol machshovais ha'olam zui minia gedoilish umanasas adam mikol machshov nekia. As I explained, that security check of the brain is preventing you from having these pure thoughts. Afa his oirus shel kedusha utfila tahira. And therefore, as a result of that, you cannot become excited. You cannot become awakened. And when it comes to what? Davening. But davening in a real way. So our davening is, because of the way that we think, our davening is not a davening. We just don't experience tefillah. You go your whole life. You can't experience what tefillah is really about, what davening is all about. A tefillah Torah, a pure davening, a real davening. And you know how terribly he says this affects our faith. And he says, really, really what I'm talking about here, the Rebbe says, is not just some, you might think I'm talking about that we're going to come to some high madrega, and I'm talking to you about reaching a madrega of a malach, of an angel, and going above and beyond the world. The Rebbe says, no, what I'm telling you is that without learning how to think this way, your emuna, the very essence of your faith, is lacking. You are deficient in your most basic emuna. And your davening is affected. Everything about your ruchnis, how you observe mitzvahs, how you learn Torah, everything. So we have to learn how just to believe in Hashem. To believe in Hashem. Yira, your fear of Hashem, your awe of Hashem, v'ahava, and your love of Hashem, everything is affected by this problem of that security check of the brain that never lets you get into that place of real emunah. And therefore, most of us grow up very uncomfortable with emunah. What does it mean to believe in Hashem? What does that even mean, b'chlal, to believe in God? Because you're talking about something that I haven't experienced, so I'm prepared to sign some document, you know, that states here clearly that I officially belong to these people of faith. But what does it mean, b'chlal, to have emunah? What does it mean, b'chlal, to have emunah? And it doesn't only mean, so you think, you know, well, it means that I have emunah, that if I would have to die, I believe in Yiddishkeit, and I believe in the Baruch Shem, and I would die al Kiddush Hashem, as we've often spoken about. But that's chaval. How often does it happen to you that someone's threatens you to die for your emunah? It doesn't happen. Hasn't happened to any of us so far, I'm assuming. So you go like that till you're 120, you know, waiting for some opportunity to dial Kiddush Hashem, so you could finally find out that I really have emunah. So is it proof that I have emunah that I went to daven and I only buy kosher groceries and so on, but to experience what emunah really is, not just what it's not. I will not convert to Christianity. I am not tempted to be Michal Shabbos. Therefore, what? I am a mammon. It's true. There is truth to that. But when someone says to you, but tell me, how do you experience your emunah? How do you think differently than I think? Like somebody from the street, how do you think differently? Stop on a regular day. How is your thinking different than from my thinking? What do you think about? That's different from the way that I think. Oh, well, I put on tefillin. I didn't ask you what you do. I understand you do things that are different than I do. How do you think differently? I learned Gemara. I learned Shulchan Aruch. I'm asking you, when you're walking on the street, when you're sitting by yourself, when your eyes are closed before you go to sleep, how are you different from Pliny Almighty? How are you different? So you say, I'm a Ma'amin. I believe in Hashem. So therefore, how do you think differently than I think? And can we really answer that honestly after being in this world for 30, 40, 50 years? Can we honestly answer and say with confidence that I think in a completely different way than the guy next to me on the subway? Can I? I mean, again, I'm not talking about the filth and the sickness of the thoughts that whatever that guy has. So we're more refined people. And I got news for you, even people who are not Maminim, if they're very refined, they also don't go into those disgusting thoughts. A refined person doesn't enter into those thoughts. Therefore, that's how you experience your emunah. When you read, if you read the writings of the Baal HaTanya, and especially his son Mittler Rebbe, if you read the teachings of Rabbi Nachman Breslover, and you get a taste of where these people were going, you know, you're like, you're holding on, you know, lahavdil alf 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 dollars, you know, much more than the cyclone, you know. Then and you write and you see this is where they were. Like when you read the writings of the Mittler Rebbe, you know, from Lubavitch, the second Rebbe from Lubavitch, especially because he was very, very much with meditation, and you read where he was. He was saying stuff. He wasn't talking about things that he would like us to. He was there, and you're holding. You can't believe it. You get dizzy when you read Lakut Emran from Rabbi Nachman. You get dizzy because he was there. He was trying to teach us how to feel that, how to experience it, but he was there. And when you look at it, you know, you think, this is really beautiful, it's touching, it's moving. What is it? What is this? What is he saying? And he was talking from experience. It wasn't something that wasn't theoretical. When you read from the Baal HaTanya, it wasn't a theory. He was in that place. He was in that place and he was trying to describe it to us. He was in Gan Eden, Mamish. And he's trying to take simple people like us and Because these were tzaddikim that loved every Jew, and they tried to come down to this world and to take people like us by the hand and say, come with me to this place. You could have this. And he said, nah, I cannot. No way. I can't go to that place. And that koach habikur stops us from ever coming there. But Jew who has tasted of what his boininus means of meditation, Jewish meditation. I'm not talking about something weird. Real. His boininus. his baidadus, being alone with one's thoughts and being alone with the Rebbeinu Shalom and talking to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Someone who experiences that is the most delightful, intense pleasure that a human being can have in this world. And we'll go, most of us go in this world till 120, never once having had it. And it's the most intense. You talk to people who have that, and that's what I said before, and you tell them that you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. They look at you with pity and compassion that you don't even know what it means. And you're looking at him and say, the poor guy's a vegetarian or something. And I said, poor guy, like, I feel bad for you. You don't know what his bainanus means. You're not a misbainan. He says, no, I feel bad for you because, you know, you never went to Hapisgah, you know. And like, that's the whole, I'm getting personal, right. You can meditate about that also. But you know, and each one looks at the other one with pity and compassion. And it's Rachmanis, we go to 120 like this, and we Yidden, we're Jews, we Poshut don't know what it means. So we say, I'm a Mamin, Ani Mamin. He says, I'm a Mamin, but what is your Emunah, what does your Emunah actually mean, Lemaisa? So I do this, I do that, but Lemaisa, in who you are and what you think about, how are you so different from anybody else? What makes you different?
Everything.
Ahav a year at once entire Yiddishkeit. And the Rebbe says that without learning this, you should know, he says, that your emunah is pekuma, is blemished. You're deficient in your emunah. Right? I think they start the next paragraph. I mean, let's just for a minute. Kvaris Natsal Avrech Lefonai V'Omar. A young man came to me with a problem. And he said like this, he says, Rebbe, if I would be allowed to have some sort of physical thought when I'm davening, in other words, to try to picture myself standing before Hashem, I could imagine myself throwing myself, let's say, in front of a king and crying. I would have more kavana if I were allowed to picture this. If I were allowed to picture in my mind that Hashem is a king sitting on a throne and he loves me and he's looking at me like with the loving eyes of a father, and I throw myself at his feet crying to him, he says, then I would get, you know, I'd get more excited about davening. Even if I don't see God on that throne, because you're not allowed to see God in the physical, but if you would let me at least feel myself touching that throne, his throne, and crying by the seat, and try to imagine some physical throne in my head. But according to Allah, apparently, I'm not allowed to have that kind of a thought, right? I'm not allowed to think about these things in a physical way. And all I have is what? This cold intellectual awareness. Shani yodeya she'omer en lufnei Hashem. I know that I'm in God's presence. That's what we know. Shivis Hashem nevi yisomer. I can't picture anything. I just know that I'm in God's presence. That intellectual thought, that intellectual abstract reality, the Chassid said to the Rebbe, I gotta tell you the truth, Rebbe, it doesn't do anything for me. I don't get anything from that abstract thought. So he says, Yediyah shehi b'loy machshava. It's an empty intellectual abstract without any thought. B'loy machshava, and without thinking about something, because I'm not allowed to go down that road in my thoughts. I can't go to that place. He says to the Rebbe, Eif shehi lo hasayir. I can't get going. I can't get excited. Unless it's just, Hashem sends me some good spiritual feeling one day and I'm in a good mood and I daven strong. But if I want to do it, in other words, if I'm in the dumps, if I'm stam nowhere, and I'm trying to strengthen my way of davening, you're telling me I can't think of anything. So I have this cold intellectual thought. It doesn't give me any warmth. I can't see Hashem like looking at me. I can't feel anything. When I think of my father, I think of my mother, I think of a friend who loves me. So, I could have a tremendous service when I'm away. And I miss that person. I think of the person talking to me. I have his service. But you're telling me I'm supposed to love God. I can't. I'm not allowed to think about him at all. So I have this thought. Like, what is this? I have this pure intellectual freezing cold thought of God. That what? I know that he's here. Well, I got, Sister Rabbi, I got news for you, Rabbi. Knowing that there's a God here doesn't make me want to daven to him. I know I have to daven, and I will. But to be excited about davening, to feel to be able to cry and to pour my heart out to what, to like some invisible thing that I'm not even allowed to picture. He says I can't do it. And you tell me, Rebbe, that I should constantly be in a state of eslavus, of excitement. The Rebbe says, the Rebbe says, this probably the Jew, those people who sinned with the golden calf, they're probably just like this little chassid of mine. Same thing. Good people. That what? I can't serve God without seeing something. Give me something to look at. I can't do it. He says, this was the root and source of the chet ha'egel, of that sin. They came and they said to Aaron, make for us a God that can walk before us. Give us something to look at. Give us a God that we could see, that we could touch, that we could feel, that we could relate to. You see, the egel itself is not such a crazy thing. Vishnireyu, Rak came here, Chikul Aleches. They went too far. Ulvakish, Lotziyur, Machshav, Bulvat. How did they go too far? Not only were they seeking to have a physical thought or image of God, but Rak Gam Dmus Bepoil. They went beyond the thought, and they wanted Tziyur Gashmi, because that's what they were used to. They wanted a physical reality. Vod his Tapshu, it was even dumber. In other words, it was even a bigger mistake. Lit says, Dmus Elohim Mitzrayim, the God of Egypt. Rachmar Lislam. So now, the Rebbe is going to explain how we're going to go step by step, even if we have to begin with some sort of a more refined physical image of godliness, how we're going to be able to begin there, that our thoughts will allow that in, and from there to lift ourselves up to a Madrega Mamish and Ruchnius, where we're people who are able to hold on to thoughts that are purely spiritual, and that could change our davening, that will change our amunah, that will change our avodas Hashem, yemis Hashem l'toif. Is this a cliffhanger again? The whole safe is a cliffhanger. Oh, next week it's Yontif. Yeah. No, so hold on to the machshava. Hold on, think about it. Hold on to the machshava. Okay.